Let's switch gears, ladies and gentlemen. Issa Romorowski, Executive Director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East, trained as a Middle East historian, and nice enough to give us a couple of minutes on this Tuesday with breaking events over the last day regarding now the region as far as Gaza being pinpointed and maybe the last hurrah as far as the IDF trying to eradicate this terrorist group of Hamas. Issa Romorowski, nice enough to join us. So here we go. You know, we heard about a ceasefire possibility and everything else. Qatar and the Egyptian delegation and Hamas seem to be in agreement. Of course, you can't ever believe anything coming out of that region. But in essence, the prime minister has only one goal here, and that's to get into Rafah, the southernmost point of Gaza, Egyptian border and everything else. And the beat goes on in trying to get the final nail in this coffin, Issa. So here we go. Give me an assessment of it all.
Well, thank you for having me, as always. I mean, what we saw over the past few hours was really what I would consider to be a ruse. The Hamas, once they heard, the government of Israel, once they voted unanimously to go into Rafah, as you said, the last stronghold of Hamas, said that they agreed to a ceasefire. What that actually was basically saying they proposed an offer that was already rejected and gave the impression as if they are compromising on something that was a non-starter altogether. And so now they're going around saying, you see, we accepted a ceasefire. You, Israel, are rejecting that. That's going to cost you. The fact of the matter is that the ceasefire they made was with themselves, not with anybody else. And so this was something that's part of the game that played out here over the past few hours. Israel, knowing exactly that that this is continuing, and by the way, over the past few hours, you've also seen a convoy attacked at Kerem Shalom, which is where the aid that was coming in by Hamas, of a barrage of a slazo of about 100 rockets that came in, and in addition, you know, four soldiers were killed. And so every time there's an attempt by the Israelis to alleviate the situation, we also know that text messages as well as leaflets have been dropped on Rafah in order to show the civilian population where to go to. Hamas basically plays the game and leaked that to the media, namely was leaked to the Western media in order to try to put the blame on Israel, thereby using pressure, passive pressure and active pressure, to come from the United States to try to block Netanyahu from going into Rafah. Hamas knows what's at stake, and so do the Israelis. And that's exactly what you kind of seen in this dynamic over the past few hours here.
No doubt about it. And, you know, you read about the political chief of Hamas who announced that this deal, you know, brokered by Egypt and Qatar, yet the war cabinet of Israel stating, you know, listen, we're pushing ahead with the Rafah plan, calling this far from Israel's obligatory demands. And, you know, let's face it. I mean, how many times have we heard this whole thing with Hamas, you know, maybe agreeing, maybe not. Finally, they, you know, seem in this particular situation have agreed. But quite frankly, you know, there's no agreement unless you show me the hostages. I mean, really, that's what it's all about. You lie. And by the way, the hostages believed to be in the region right now where they're going into. Believed to be. We'll see. But in essence, either show me all the hostages, and by the way, I'm not giving you 700 Palestinian prisoners in exchange. Not happening here. The goal right now for Israel is to wipe out Hamas out of this region. Because if they don't, and this is where people have to get fixated as far as everything is concerned. If they don't eradicate, who knows what happens in a year, year and a half, two and a half years. Same type of October 7th can happen again. That's why Israel has to finish the job. And I'll tell you another thing, is that these reports where Joe Biden right now is stalling as far as getting the ammunitions needed to Israel, if that is true, I mean, so desperate to stop Israel from destroying Hamas in Gaza delaying these shipments to put even more pressure on Israel to let this organization stay in power. If that is true, I mean, I'll tell you, that's the final straw. Final straw, as far as what you have to think here.
Oh, 100%. I mean, no disagreement at all. I mean, I think that the Biden administration is playing pretty distasteful and disgraceful games here with the Israelis, where Israeli lives and American lives, who are part of the hostages, are at risk here. He is kowtowing to the progressive wing. There is clearly a electoral politics that are being played out here that they want to stop the war as a result of the environment that's happening. I mean, you know, by the way, to your point, the exact same messaging is exactly what you've been seeing with these campus encampments happening on American college campuses. And they are supporting and they are cheering for Hamas, Iran. It's anti-American, it's anti-Western, it's anti-Israel, it's anti-Semitic. And so you're exactly to the point that exactly right. The threats that they are coming out of Hamas and the comments that have been made on the campuses is that they are wishing and yearning for more October 7th attacks. Israel knows this is an existential threat for them, and they're basically now at the one-yard line. They need to go in. The one party that has not been really mentioned, you know, really needs to also highlighted, the Egyptians. The Egyptians, you know, were also complacent in some of this in the sense that they've allowed the smuggling of the tunnels coming in on the Egyptian side. They've been part of these negotiations. But for the Egyptians' national interest, they understand the threat of Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, which was a part when they ruled, when they were, and what they represent to Egyptian society. They know them that they're terrorists. And so they want to contain them inside of, under Israeli control. That's their vested interest. But we also need to contextualize it, the fact that they could have helped out. There could also be more pressure on the Egyptians to facilitate with some of these aspects. And Egyptians are also a recipient of USAID.
Yeah. Israel Murawski with us as far as the ongoing attacks into that Rafah area, which is the southern Gaza region, ladies and gentlemen, right on that Egyptian border. You know, you're going to hear all this discussion regarding ceasefire and everything else. Just not true. It's just not true. And besides which, you can't broker any type of deal as far as anything but the hostages return in full. Not talking, you know, however many left. We still don't know, Israel, right? We don't know how many are left. You know, originally it was 133. We could be at the point of maybe, you know, 40, 30, 20. Who knows? Nobody knows. But every hostages that is alive, every hostage that is alive, has to be returned. And listen, there's been no agreement of that of any kind. So therefore, you know, it's just a futile attempt as far as the organization and the propaganda that still comes out of there as far as everything is concerned. And of course, this is permeated into this country with all these protests and everything else, just an absolute disgrace with the burning of American flags, Palestinian flags, memorial statues in and around Met Gala last night. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I'll tell you one thing regarding these protesters and these schools. They should all be terminated, these head officials at these universities, for allowing commencement exercises to be canceled. I mean, if that is not a sign of weakness, I don't know what is.
100%. I mean, you know, you're in New York and you saw that they canceled the commencement at Columbia. The fact that they're allowing these professional agitators to take over the American college campus, promoting anti-Americanism, promoting terrorism. And by the way, it has been discovered that, you know, many of the people who are organizing these events are professional agitators, that they are individuals who were involved in Occupy Wall Street and Black Lives Matter. They are paid agitators to come to the campus and trying to use and the campus scene in order to hijack it. There has to be consequences. We've seen terrorist money. We've seen boycott, divestment, and sanctions money, by the way, coming out of foundations in Westchester, New York, that are supporting all these things. We're seeing coming out of George Soros money. If you just follow the money trail, you can see exactly the nefarious political activism that is coming and goes back to the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. I mean, these are all kind of the activities that are happening here, which, again, to my mind, is going to mirror, which I think we're going to see going forward, a la 1968, the closer you get to Chicago and the DNC this summer. And so those are the kind of nefarious activities. And the people who have ties to terrorism and these students need to be expelled. They need to be suspended. They need to be defunded. I mean, there has to be real consequences. And these university presidents who, as you noted, started off with all these hearings that were happening out, have been capitulating to these kinds of individuals and their demands, have to have consequences. And they should not be in the position of leadership that they're in if they can't handle these very institutions that are supposed to represent American and Western values when they're allowing for the opposite to happen by promoting terrorism on American college campuses.
All right, let's fast forward in summation here. Israel takes care of the Rafah area. What next? I mean, to me, the war doesn't end there. I mean, you still have Hezbollah to the north. You still have the Houthis in Yemen. You still have the presence of funding, obviously, from Iran. We saw what they did. Is there still more business to be done here? You know, obviously, we're in election year. Who knows what happens if Trump gets in? Does he resuscitate the Abraham Accords? Does he try and broker peace in the Middle East? Can it be in play? I mean, I don't know, you know, two-state solution, this, that, who knows? But what happens in your estimation as far as the Rafah area after all said and done? No doubt in my mind that they'll prosper out over that, but the war doesn't end there, does it?
No, it doesn't end there. And as you said correctly, I actually think there's going to be more kind of simultaneous in tandem activity coming in from the north. The fact that Hezbollah is also a proxy of Iran, there's already rockets coming in, pressure to come in from Israel, and the Houthis, all of this is part of the Iranian axis. And so the pressure is going to kind of come in, and in order to jointly coordinate and try to squeeze the Israelis' bandwidth as far as fighting wars on several fronts, is what you're going to see happen, all of what we've seen with the past few weeks. And you've seen direct acts of war from attacks from the Iranians. Furthermore, positively, I would say that when we had the Iranian attack, the fact that you had the actors in the region, namely the Jordanians and the Saudis, joining Israel to defend Israel and to support, you know, to fend off these attacks, that was positive. The hope is that that sentiment can continue. Especially now that there's talks, always been kind of an ongoing conversation with the Saudis, understanding that Iran is and has been the largest destabilizing force in the region at large. And that's exactly what they're fighting. The actors on the ground understand that. And so there's an ability to use that sentiment to collaborate going forward. But you are going to see more and more of these kind of attacks, and until you see more dismantlement, or, you know, on the Hezbollah front, going back to the implementation of UN Resolution 1701, pushing Hezbollah as far back beyond the border to the Litani River, where there could be a much more defensible border in that area. I mean, that has not happened yet, but that's where you're going to see pressure and demand from the Israelis. And if that does not happen, you're going to see more surgical attacks going into Syria and to Lebanon by the Israelis because they have no choice. You have, between the north and the south, over 100,000 displaced Israelis inside of Israel as a result of the two fronts that they're currently fighting now. And that's indeed a significant concern to Israelis economically, the viability of how the country is running itself while the war is going on. And of course, you'll see, I'm sure, clouds of elections as a result of the war continues going forward and as time goes by.
Israel Murawski zeroing in as far as what is happening in the Middle East at this point in time. Asif, we'll keep a close eye. We look forward to having you on, obviously, with breaking events, but certainly a situation where you could say that Israel could be on the final leg of this journey as far as the mission is concerned. But again, the question is, does the mission, does it stop as far as after this is concerned? And there is more work to be done without question. Always a pleasure, sir. We'll speak soon.
Thank you as always. Take care.
You got it. Thanks, Asif.